Welcome, True Believer readers, to another episode of Let's Read Spider-Man, where we cover books that are a blast from Peter Parker's past. Today's books came out at the same time as the following three events. Hoagie Carmichael, American jazz composer, dies at age 82. Phantom of the Opera opens in New York City. And Robert Petzlew, 19 months old, falls from his parents' apartment on the sixth floor of a building in Manhattan. His fall was broken by shrubbery, and he landed in soft mud, surviving with no broken bones or even a scratch. Here to provide additional insight on the most important of these events is my friend Eddie. How are you today, Eddie?
Ooh, James B., there's been so much going on in my world. I'm a little distractible in some ways, but...
Is that because of, you know, the special event going on right now?
Perhaps the special event, of course, is...
Well, I don't celebrate it as much, but, like, my family sort of does. Eddie, haven't you been noticed how everyone's dressed these days?
Are they all in green?
They are all in green, of course. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Eddie.
I'm in orange, James B. My family heritage is North Irish, actually, so...
Is that what people do?
That's what the Protestants do in the North Ireland, is what my grandma used to say. She's like, your grandfather always wore orange and fight anybody with green on. I'm like, a noble breed we are.
Well, that's a lot of insight you've given me there. And please, if you have a little bit more, you want to talk about the most interesting of these three events?
I got to talk about Robert Petzlew at 19 months old. Did he turn out to be a superhero? How could he have fallen without, you know, dying, other than landing in shrubbery, which James B.
Yes. Special word for you and I.
You get out of that shrubbery, kids.
That's right. Eddie and I used to work at the same school together, and during recess, we would yell at kids who were running around the slightly city tree area with mulch. That James, I'm sure you named it the shrubbery, right?
I named it the shrubbery. First words you're out of your mouth were, they don't know what shrubbery is.
Well, fortunately for little Robert, his mother was asleep. He crawled up on the windowsill, unlocked the window or whatever, fell, and a 4-inch dent in the mud. Wow. And he was fine. It says 90% chance of a person falling from the fifth floor of a building and dying. You have a 90% chance of death if you fall. And he was from the sixth floor. But,
no problems.
He made it. So.
Superhero.
Yeah, that happened the same times as these books. And let's talk about these books. Eddie, they are from January, February, and March of 1988. Stanley presents Web of Spider-Man 34, 35, and 36. Fourth and Eternity, You Can Go Home Again, and Freak Out. That's with a PH, by the way. Written by Jim Shooter, Jerry Conway. Penciled by Sal Buscema, Alex Seviuk, and inked by Vince Coletta and Keith Williams.
Listeners, before I give you a quick summary of these three books, I want to tell you about the cover of Web 34. Because I looked at it for quite a while before I read this book and thought, what could possibly be the plot inside these pages? This is a new segment, James B., I like to call Guess the Plot from the Crazy Cover.
So you're going to describe the cover and... The listeners will try to guess the plot, because I already know it.
Okay. On the cover, we see a green alien pointing a cone-shaped hand at the Watcher, who's tied up in pink electric bonds on the ground, while an image on one of the Watcher's screens has Spider-Man with one arm in a sling playing football with some boys. Okay. Imagine what the story is with that cover image.
Don't tell them the words in the cover.
I won't even tell them that.
Give them what to think. The Watcher's, he's laying on his side. It's his big giant head. And there's a tiny little alien pointing a gun at him.
Right. Yes.
And then Spider-Man's playing football with
one arm.
in a web sling with some boys.
So weird. Got it. Okay. Here's how it played out, James B. In Web of Spider-Man 34, Spidey helps a group of young boys play football against some older jerks. Little does Spidey know, the Watcher has been captured by Asai, a mediocre cosmic goon who likes to gamble, and been forced to bet all his cosmic weapons against his freedom if Spider-Man's team wins. Team Spidey goes down 56-0, but with a rousing speech, they fight back to victory, thereby freeing the Watcher, who promptly banishes Asai to a Joker card in a casino in Las Vegas.
Yeah, the football game appears to be like you said, middle schoolers versus high schoolers. And the leader of the high schoolers is a jerk. It's not really clear if they're all jerks, but definitely that one kid is.
They're all jerks. Well, they're playing middle school. Anyways.
Spider-Man plays with handicaps. That's why his arm is in the web sling, to make it fair, because the high school kids seem to know exactly all of Spider-Man's powers better than anyone else. They describe them all, and he can't use any of them. Somehow the Watcher is snuck up on, and somehow the lamest kid in the football game makes an unbelievable play at the end. It was a strange book to follow, the Kraven and Mad Dog Ward books.
That's for sure. Well, moving on to Web of Spider-Man 35, Peter heads to Midtown High as a favor to his old principal to substitute teach for a week. A pair of students, Steve Petty and Jake Dorman, behave almost precisely like Peter and Flash did 6 years earlier. Despite Peter's attempts to make peace between the pair, Steve unleashes the living brain robot on Jake. Spidey stops the brain, but can't find Steve to convince him to turn himself in and talk some sense into him. We also get a seemingly random story intermixed in this book about the appointment of a new tarantula.
I already covered this story in episode 6 of our podcast back in 2021 after the credits. You get a no prize if you remembered that. Hey, in the 1970s, they would set up stories by giving you like tip-offs, like this is going to, you know, be happening in future books. I really liked how they, you know, did that in the comics. I like that in TV shows too. Introduce a character now and then use him later. Don't just at the start of a show completely introduce a character we've never seen before and then make him sound like, oh, this guy's super important. I'm like, why have we never seen him until today? So I approve of the tarantula story taking a few issues to get going. This is something that we used to do all the time.
I thought it was some history lesson, like, going on in school, because it just, like, straight stops school and goes right to Central America or South America.
I see.
Anyways, in Web of Spider-Man 36, we see a return of Steve Petty, but this time he's souped up wearing an energy-absorbing and electrifying exoskeleton while rocking the name Freak. Freak kidnaps Mary Jane Watson because he's still angry at Peter, Freak is, and explodes anything electric in the process. Spider-Man uppercuts Freak, and Steve's bully, Jake, saves his weakened schoolmate from being shot by the police, declaring, "He's a friend!" Also, MJ and Peter take several off-panel showers together. While we see the new tarantula imbued with super strength and evil intentions.
Eddie, you mentioned that Freak is still angry at Peter. I don't think you mentioned that he was angry at him in the first place. Why is he angry at him?
He is angry at him because Peter tried to say, you know, Jake's just trying to be your friend. It's like, you know, if we remember when Flash was like, I just wanted to be your friend and you were so cold and not, you know, social with me and my friend circle. And Steve was like, no, thanks. You don't know what you're talking about, Peter, and stomps away. So he's very angry at Peter for trying to convince him to be friends with Jake.
Enough to go kidnap Mary Jane. Well, at the end of the book, Steve and Jake are like, they'll be friends with each other. It just seems a little unrealistic after this guy's attitude for all these books. I did enjoy that they set this up in 35 and carried it in 36. I do like when books tie together, so there you go.
There's this terrible paradox that happens in Web 36. When Mary Jane is kidnapped by Freak and Spider-Man is following them, he thinks, quote, "I took the long way around, cutting to the east and north of Times Square. I don't want Steve Petty or anyone else to connect Spider-Man with Mary Jane Parker." This is right after Peter crawling up the side of his apartment building in his underwear to see what's up with the power. MJ yells, "Peter, someone will see you." And Peter replies, "Don't worry, it's dark. Besides, my spider sense would warn me if anyone was watching." Like, you're going to take the long way around the building to save your wife who's in the hands of, like, a angry 15-year-old? I'm not big on inconsistencies, but this is a little careless from the writers.
Yeah, I call these like plot-related story plot devices to move the plot in a certain direction. Yeah. Another one's when Peter hurts his leg so badly, when the freak busts in there and Peter's like, my leg or something, and he can't even like move and he can't fight back, and MJ's getting captured. And I'm like, now he can't move. I mean, he's held entire buildings on his shoulders, and this kid comes in, and like Peter's leg is in such pain. So, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, it was too much. Like I said, I don't like to dwell on these things, but stretches all over the place. I am glad that Web 35 and 36 were written. It's essentially an alternate reality book where Peter, in this case, it would be Steve Petty, turns evil. Peter had such rotten luck as a youth. It's a testament to like Aunt May's parenting that he turned into a superhero instead of a villain. Aunt May's the real hero in that world.
Well, I want to talk about Aunt May and older relatives later. But first, I think we should do our sponsor right here. And listeners,
okay,
the Daily Bugle presents Live with Eddie. Each week, the Daily Bugle lets Eddie interview someone at the scene of these stories. Today, Eddie, please welcome Mr. William Isaiah to discuss everything they witness. And Eddie, by the way, let me just be clear. You could ask these people who they are. No one's expecting you to know everyone all the time.
Okay. So. All right.
It's not awkward.
Thank goodness.
But let me just get him, patch him through, okay?
Just trying to be professional, James B., that's all.
I understand. I understand.
All right. So
I don't even know where these people come from. The Daily Bugle sends them to you. I'm sure you witnessed something very important, probably maybe Mary Jane being kidnapped or something. I don't know what it was. So, all right, here he is.
Hello?
Yes. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing today?
Good, good. How are you today?
I'm also doing well. Can you tell us, did you see Mary Jane kidnapped recently? Mary Jane Watson? Or what? Parker now?
Who are you talking about?
No?
I was watching Spider-Man.
Oh, what was he doing? Was he playing football?
He was. Well, first, them older kids were playing football with them little kids.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man comes down, I think, to help the little ones.
He did. He helped the little ones. Did you see anything odd or kind of unexpected about this football game other than that Spider-Man decided to play?
Yes, I did think it was odd that Spider-Man decided to play.
Well, the kids seemed perfectly normal. It didn't seem like they suddenly gained powers in some way, overpowering Spider-Man at least once or twice. Was it a good game?
I was just thinking, ain't you got something better to be doing?
I gotta agree with you. I feel like Spider-Man playing football... community work, like community building with Spider-Man, right?
Sure, I guess so. I mean, it'd be community work for me if you could take care of the Kingpin and the other gang wars going on. I could help the little kids with the football game. I'm just saying.
Sir...
I think he got injured playing football, too. I think he broke his arm.
He had a sling on, didn't he? You make a very good point there. Are you going to tell J. Jonah Jameson about this?
Is he there? Let me talk to him. Let me talk to J. Jonah Jameson.
Are you a fan of Spider-Man, or do you think he's not such a great guy?
That's a good question. I thought he was a good guy... But now he seems to be the kind of guy who just likes to play football.
All right. Well, we so appreciate your insight on the football game you watched in the alley. And I agree. Perhaps we can send something to Spider-Man to have him deal with the Kingpin a little more regularly.
All right. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, William. And that's all the time we have for today. Remember to check out the Daily Bugle for even more news and firsthand accounts like this. You've been listening to Live with Eddie. Eddie, earlier you were talking about Aunt May, and we just talked to William, who also sounds like somewhat of an older person, I believe.
Right. Yes.
Well, when I was with some old people back when I was 11 years old, I was often left at my grandparents' house.
Yeah.
And I used to be upset if I missed out on watching Spider-Man on TV. And back in 1981, that was a show called Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Oh.
And it was about Spider-Man living in his house with his aunt. And they had these two boarders from ESU. It was essentially Iceman and Firestar. And if you never remember these stories at all, anytime there's a cartoon with the Fantastic Four or a cartoon with Spider-Man, you can't have the Human Torch in it because somebody owned the rights to the Human Torch, so he just never appears on TV. So Firestar was the answer to the Human Torch. So there you go.
That explains a lot for me because I was like, why don't we have the Human Torch here?
Yeah. And I will say on the record, although she will be eventually added to the canon world, I don't think this book is canon because she didn't exist in this book at the time, but we're going to cover it anyway. We covered that Superman Spider-Man book, so we can squeeze this one if it's
okay.
And this book is from December of 1981. Stanley presents Spider-Man, His Amazing Friends, number one, The Triumph of the Green Goblin. Original screenplay by Dennis Marks, pencils by Dan Spiegel, and inks by Vincent Coletta. I believe this is also based on a cartoon.
So yes. There you go. Norman Osborn has recently been released from a sanitarium, supposedly cured of his alternate Green Goblin personality. But when the plane he's flying on crashes, Gobby's back. Peter Parker is going to a costume party with his friends Bobby Drake, a.k.a. Iceman, and Angelina Jones, a.k.a. Firestar.
Angelica Jones,
excuse me. It's all fun and games until Peter's spider sense sends him to the nearby Osborn Corp building. There, Green Goblin captures Spidey and tells him of his plan to use the Goblin formula, which he ingested long ago, to turn everyone in the city into goblins.
Yeah, it's implying that he was changed into a goblin. It's implied he isn't wearing a costume, but Spider-Man clarifies that Norman is just crazy and doesn't realize he's in a costume. They take care of that.
Okay. When Gobby can't find the formula he's looking for, he kidnaps his niece, Norma Osborn, and she tells him where it is. Gobby dumps the formula into the water reservoir, but Spidey, Firestar, and Iceman catch Green Goblin and freeze the water he dumped the toxic formula into before it flows into the city.
Yeah, I was really trying to make sure that Firestar and Iceman did some stuff. I wanted to make sure conveniently she needed a couple times to deal with, for her to deal with, like, ice. She's like, I'll just burn through this ice situation or whatever. Eddie, this book discusses the TV show that's airing. And at the same time, it acknowledges that Iceman doesn't really hang out with Peter and Firestar is new. Like, the book isn't like, hey, these are characters you know all the time, you know? It's only better than a typical promo book because it has a real villain in it and slightly better heroes to team up with Spider-Man. Do you concur?
I completely agree. It's nice to see that they chose Green Goblin. And Iceman, he's been around forever. And Firestar is the Human Torch. You know, she plays the same role. It's very good as far as characters.
You see Angelica has a little dog?
Yes. What is it? It's a cartoon Lion show.
Lion. Ms. Lion. She has like a tiny little dog. Because, you know, it's a cartoon show. You need to have your you know, whatever. It's goofy little, you know, Ewok equivalent or whatever it's going to be. So there you go. All right. I think we did enough on these books.
Sure.
All right. We'll let the listeners move on to other podcasts of ours. But if they want to talk to us about something, how much they love Spider-Man His Amazing Friends, how can they let us know?
You can email us at letsreadspiderman@gmail.com or click on the link in this podcast description to join our Discord channel and connect with us through social media.
Yeah, and go on the Discord channel and go into the category of, like, TV shows and somebody else tell me that they've seen Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. Everybody talks about all the other shows I don't watch, but this one I know. This is good stuff. And now it's time for Eddie's most interesting realization.
Peter Parker is Steve Petty's hero because he saw Peter's Central Queen's Science Fair medal from 6 years ago in the trophy case at Midtown High. Goodbye.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.
Petty sees this medal from 6 years ago. Does this mean that Peter Parker cannot be much older than 25 or 26 at this time? Because he graduated high school 6 years before that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it means. And I think I brought this up back in episode 6. I saw that and I was able to timestamp that in 230 books, he would go 6 years. I actually think 6 years is quite a bit of movement.
Yeah?
I think they moved him. I think some characters never seem to age at all.
True.
Like, you know, I feel like the South Park kids might have gone two grades. In, you know, Simpsons might have gone two grades like 30 years, you know?
So. I mean, we just saw Doc Ock, and like Doc Ock, they are drawing him like chubbier, I feel like. He's got to be. 6 years for Doc Ock is rough. He didn't start off a young man. He was already a scientist, so.
Doc Ock was in the last podcast. In our last podcast, that was our 700th book we covered, the last book, which was like Marvel Fanfare 2. It's a fact.
What we do with our time, James B.
Well, you should be out celebrating right now in your orange your orange costume.
I will. I'm sure I had some corned beef at some point this day because my wife loves it.